Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and our Uncommon Economic Indicators Project keeps rolling along with your stories, videos, calls, and photos coming into the Uncommon Economic Indicators homepage and map. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And a few recent posts have indicated that perhaps we're seeing a bit of an uptick in street art around the city. For instance, here's a post from Michael in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn. He writes, "This stencil has been up for the past few months on a vacant house on my block in Clinton Hill." And along with his submission, he snapped a picture for us of a poster which features stenciled pictures of former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, and former SEC Chairman Christopher Cox. Above the three pictures are three words, "Axis of Evil." And here's another one, maybe a little less clever, but certainly just as striking. A picture submitted by Clyde in Manhattan of a corrugated metal fence near the entrance to the Holland Tunnel, spray painted in big black scrawl, "Where's my effing bailout?" And those are just a couple of examples. We've got stories of higher levels of graffiti, more postering around the city, and a few reports of the person who has been putting up big neon-colored stickers that say, "Enjoy banking" and "Enjoy subprime lending." So the uncommon economic indicators seem to be pointing to more street art and graffiti, but is it a trend? Is there more economically oriented public art out there? And just what is street art anyway? Half our listeners are probably inspired by the posters and stickers and stenciling that you're seeing around the city, while the other half of you may be thinking, oh boy, here we go, back to the New York of the 70s, graffiti everywhere, vandalism. Joining us to discuss the world of street art in the current economic climate are Mark and Sarah Schiller, founders of the Worcester Collective, a website dedicated to showcasing street art from all around the world. Mark, Sarah, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
And listeners, we posted links to those particular uncommon economic indicator submissions that we've received about street art on our show page. So if you want to see the pictures of the Axis of Evil stencil or "Where's my bailout graffiti," go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. From your perspective, what are you noticing? Is there more recession-themed street art these days?
Well, I think that street art itself is a mirror to society and what people are feeling, and it's a reaction to the environment. So although there always has been street art as a fabric of the city, it definitely is now reflecting the economic situation.
It's about access, right? I mean, artists and activists and people, we don't have access to mass media, but we do have access to the street, and we have something to say. And so the openness of the city and using the city as your canvas becomes very powerful for artists, and they're reacting to their lives, and their lives are being impacted by the times that we're in.
And listeners, we have about 10 minutes for your calls on this. What's your favorite piece of street art that's relevant to our times? Let's keep it in the uncommon economic indicators ballpark here. 212-433-WNYC. What are you seeing in the realm of recession graffiti? 212-433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Any individual ones you'd like to point out from around the city? You've got so many examples from around the world on your site. You want to start local and then we'll go global?
Well, it's interesting what's happening with the telephone booths, where now they're being abandoned and they're not necessarily being taken away yet, probably because of the lack of resources to do it. And a lot of artists are using those empty phone booths, because now we're all on cell phones, to use as installations and to create 3D sculptures inside of them. And so there's been a series of beehives that have been put in these phone booths that we feel are extremely creative and might not scream, you know, this is about our economic times, but in many ways it's about that. It's about the fact that we're letting a lot of our infrastructure go to waste, and there's more that we can't fix, and artists are using that to make different creative statements.
Sarah, got an example from outside New York City?
Yeah, what we've really seen a proliferation of is this whole anti-consumerism movement and artists who are reacting to the proliferation of advertising. And you can go all the way from Brazil into Europe. A great example from Brazil is artists who have taken big, big ads and stenciled ants eating through the ads as a message that you know, consumerism and the message of the advertisers will ultimately be eaten away.
From our webpage, Sue from Long Island City writes, wonderful subject, art or vandalism, expression or destruction, participation or defacement. My favorite ever was the message sprayed on a grocery store wall in the East Village years ago, sacrifice the yuppies and drink their blood. Any who built minute clay rooms in the spaces left by missing bricks and walls on Fourth Avenue, not much of that to be found out here in Astoria, but we do have Socrates Park.
You know, it's interesting. You know, all of this art is ephemeral, right? So it can disappear in 30 seconds. And because it's ephemeral, it becomes very personal. And because it becomes personal, it becomes very meaningful to people. And you'll find that people are walking around with their, you know, photographs of things that they've seen on the streets, that they've taken a quick photograph with their cell phone, and it's very personal for them. So the ephemerality of street art is something that becomes a very, very powerful way of communicating.
Though to those who object to it, it's the seeming permanence of being assaulted by constant images, unwanted images.
But what about advertising, right? I mean, so a lot of that is a reaction against that same comment, but just put against advertising. And I don't think anybody's going to argue that there's much more unwanted advertising than there is unwanted graffiti or street art.
Vandalism for hire, in that case.
Yeah, if it's paid, it's accepted. And I think a lot of people reject that, and they say, look, just because it can be bought and sold doesn't mean it's humanistic, doesn't mean it makes my living conditions any better.
Larry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry. Great topic. Now, you guys would expect that the East Village would flower with this kind of stuff, but there's this guy doing work called Leviticus, and he does stuff with reflective tape on the sidewalk, just wonderful stuff. As you were saying, very ephemeral. Yesterday, I saw that he had taped the shadow of a trash basket. I mean, it was just so beautiful and clever, and I walked by, and it really made a difference in my day. I thought, this isn't going to last, but boy, is that fabulous and creative.
Yeah, that's what we love about street art, is tapping into the city and making site-specific pieces of work where the artist is walking by that piece every day, and something inside them is triggered, and they react, and they're actually creating sculptures or pieces that are part of the city and are reacting to different pipes and trash cans and tubes that are in the city.
Go ahead.
Street art just makes you also more aware of the creativity in the city, because normally we're rushing to the subway, or we're, you know, going to a shop to purchase something, and we're really not using our peripheral vision. But once you see that somebody has placed a stencil on the ground or put a piece of art on the back of a wall or what have you, you suddenly, for us, it's like you open up a manhole cover and you realize that there's a whole city down below that you'd never really noticed that was there. And I think all of us, that once we tap into that, we realize that New York is so rich with creativity that's being put there by the citizens of New York.
Eddie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
I'm not necessarily for graffiti, but I think I see some of these things, and I'm amazed at what they do, these guys, these vandals. And I saw something off the highway that really struck me in Brooklyn at Smith and 9th Street. Big thing that says World Screaming Knowles, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, huge spot, huge thing that this guy did, and I don't know. It's crazy.
All right. Thank you. Caroline in Garrison, you're on WNYC.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Hi. I'm calling sort of, this might be off the wall, but my son, who's 17, he was suspended a couple of weeks ago for doing some graffiti at school, and I was surprised he was doing this. He had this whole thing about sort of going, you know, kind of to different bathrooms, and, you know, it was he was going to school specifically to do graffiti. I wasn't happy that he was destroying property, but the thing that revealed to me that was he was, creative, and that he was finding all this, following all this graffiti online, so it's really exciting to find the Worcester Group webpage. Because I do think the work's beautiful, and I was just
and your son, was he suspended?
5 days, which I thought was ridiculous.
Are you conflicted because you don't like him vandalizing the bathroom, but you're proud of him for expressing himself?
I'm not happy with the way I guess he was missed out on school for 5 days for something minor, I thought, and that the fact that like traditional. When I was studying art in high school, it was a lot freer, kind of a better vibe in the classroom. I remember visiting his art class and to help out, to get him interested in art. And I was surprised that the art teacher sort of actually censored another student. She said, "Well, let's change this on a piece of paper," which I was, right. I kept my cool about it, but it's not what,
yeah.
Okay,
so when values come into conflict with each other, Caroline, thank you. But, first of all, a lot of this is illegal, and does street art have to have a message? I mean, when does it become blight? If you have, where's my effing bailout scrawled across the foot of the Holland Tunnel? Well, maybe it's making a social statement, but people don't want to have to look at the obscenity all the time. What about tagging, just writing your name or tag on a wall or a sidewalk? And even if it's beautiful, it's not necessarily making a message, just, peeing on a tree.
So I don't think there's any question about penalties. I mean, I don't think any of the artists also would suggest that there wouldn't be penalties for their action. I mean, they're risking getting arrested. And if you're doing that, you must have a strong motivation and a strong reason. So it's just, and I think the caller was making a good point. It's not that there's penalties, because I think there should be penalties, but it's the severity of the penalties. It's do the penalties really outweigh what the form of expression is? And I think that's really the issue. And in terms of the tags versus street art, what have you, I mean, when you lump everything together and you just say, everything is the same, then yes, you're only going to look at it through the lens of vandalism. But when you start to see that the motivation of a lot of these artists is actually to beautify the city, to beautify ugly spaces, to make them more creative, to take what the city has neglected and to add creativity to it, it opens your eyes to understand that a lot of street art is very humanistic and is very much about creating a better environment, not to destroy our current environment.
Prince in Racine, Wisconsin, calling in. Hello, Prince.
Hey. I'm a street artist and an artist myself. And I think, for me, the whole idea behind it is to eliminate this fear, this barrier, and it's that I can come this close to you, I can cross this line, but I'm not doing anything harmful. I'm doing something to provoke creation and beauty, like he was saying.
So I don't know how people in Racine react to street art, or call it graffiti if you do graffiti, compared to people in New York, but do you feel it connects you to people, or do a lot of people also get angry at you?
Like you were saying, it is illegal, and so you don't want to get caught, so you kind of, at the same time, I'm removed by it, but I put it there for other people to see and for them to have that reaction to it, rather than for me necessarily to connect directly to people.
Would you be prepared to get arrested for your art?
Sure, of course.
Yes,
thank you very much.
I mean, there's street art.
We just have 15 seconds, but let's end on. I mean, we had Shepard Fairey, the famous street artist, the Obey stickers. He also did the Obama Hope posters, but he got arrested many times.
Mm-hmm. And he was willing to put his freedom at risk to get the message out there. And in fact, his Obama poster was carried and put up by people around the world in support of a broader mission.
We'll give the last word to Milton in Queens, however, who posted on our site, "I'm glad you have something to say. Just stop saying it on the side of my van." How can people see your website?
WorcesterCollective.com.
With street art from all around the world. Mark and Sarah Schiller, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Brian.
And again, I am going on vacation now through next week to be off with my kids during the public school break. So have a great 10 days, and please be nice to the substitute hosts. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.